We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We haven't gotten around to big football games, though, this weekend. And I think there's one up in New England tomorrow, as a matter of fact. We're going to head up there now or around that vicinity. Anyway, let's go to Fred and Steve's Steakhouse. What do you say? Steve DiAssi and Fred Smirlis, that famed place. Where are you, in the casino there, Steve? Is that where it is?
Right in the casino in Lincoln Road, Twin River Casino, Lincoln, Rhode Island. Yeah. We've been here, actually, I was thinking about that, 13 years now it's been open. So
wow.
You've owned a steakhouse for 13 years?
Yeah, and I opened a cigar bar about 8 years ago, too, right in the same casino. So
the way I took care of you as a rookie in Dallas, and I haven't gotten an invite to the steakhouse yet?
Listen, my girlfriend says that everything I do is centered around things that I love, so now all I got to do is figure out how to get free golf, and I'll be... I was thinking about that, Gary, the other day, and Eddie, we've talked of many years ago, bunch of times. But, yeah, that was, what, 35 years ago, 36 years ago?
1984, right?
God.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, thank God you're not near as obnoxious as you were back then.
And I can say the same as you.
For you. That's a good point. Well played, sir. Well played.
Let me tell you something. Steve, from the minute Steve walked in the door in Dallas, I immediately gravitated towards him because he was like the funniest guy in the locker room. Just a happy-go-lucky guy that was basically, I can't believe I'm making a living playing the game of football. And he carried that same attitude right through to a Super Bowl ring with the Giants.
That is, I'll tell you what, that's a true measure of a man who stays the same over the years. And you have. You haven't changed at all. You're still the same guy.
Yeah, it's too many good things going on. Everybody has tragedies in their lives here and there. But, you know, on the whole, I've been lucky and put myself in good positions and wonderful children, wonderful family, great friends, phenomenal teammates, tremendous experiences. You know, I mean, what do I got to be grumpy about? That's the thing. I mean, there's been so many... I could sit here and point at things that didn't go right for me, like my 5 years in Dallas. Anyway, maybe one or two years after that.
But just anyway. Think about it. Landry, Jimmy, and Parcells. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And throw a little Belichick in there as a coordinator.
That's right.
That's right. But you ever play for Jimmy?
He got rid of me rather quickly. He wanted smaller, faster linebackers, and I was already big and fat and slow.
But you know what? The best thing you can say about DiAssi's career, and I mean this in all sincerity, is that Parcells really did love him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You quickly became a favorite of Bill Parcells.
Says a lot.
Well, Coach, Bill used to come up to me when I was playing in Dallas, and we play him twice a year, and I was a football equivalent of a gym rat. I was always out in the field 2 hours early throwing the ball around, whatever, and. And Parcells, every year, twice a year, he's like, they don't know what they're doing with you up here, down here in Dallas. You're a Northeast guy. I'm going to get you. I'll get you out of there. Don't worry about it. That was the first 4 years I was in Dallas. My fifth year, I was like, hey, coach, remember what we talked about?
Steve, isn't that tampering, though, that he told you that while you were under contract?
No, because it was one of those casual joking conversations that may or may not have actually taken place.
No corroboration.
So Steve is a media star in Boston, as well as being a restaurant owner, a cigar bar owner.
Exactly.
Steve, tell us about what's going on with Brady. Is this just a typical, you got to put him on the injury report because the league rules allow it, and the Patriots have already broken enough rules over the years that they actually have to conform to this rule, or is there actually something to this elbow injury?
Well, I mean, it used to be, before they refined the injury reporting, it used to be that because of something that happened when I think the Patriots were playing the Atlanta Falcons one time, and Atlanta played around with the injury report. I think it was, I don't know if it was Michael Vick playing or not playing, whatever. But it used to be that Tom Brady was on the injury report every single week, and then I think Belichick got tired of doing that, and he hasn't done it in a while. So he really hasn't been on a lot of injury reports. So I got to imagine that there is something to it. Is enough to keep him out of the game? Probably not. But they hasn't. Two or three years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I would have just said, yeah, Tom Brady's on the injury report again, big deal, he's on there every week. But it hasn't been that way this year, and it hasn't been that way in the year before either. So this is probably, there's something to it, but I don't think it's something that's going to keep him out of the game.
He's been looking around for receivers all year, and Sanu gets there, but I guess he's going to be out this week. And how about Dorsett? Who's he throwing to this week, Steve?
He's going to probably have to throw to the backs. Benjamin Watson stepped up a little bit last week. He might be more part of it, but yeah, I'm more concerned with the protection that he has. He really, you look at the protection he had last year, and if you include the tight end and the fullback, James Devlin, I'm talking about the blocking, the run blocking and the pass protection.
Mm-hmm.
If you include Gronk and Devlin, there's four of seven guys from last year's team that were protecting Tom Brady off the roster or out of the game. Not just four of the seven, the best four of the seven are out. So I'm more concerned with Brady having time than who he's going to throw to. He's going to throw to whoever gets open in 2 seconds or less, because I know Isaiah Wynn's coming back. We don't know how much he's going to play this week. Newhouse has been not very good at all at left tackle. So I think whoever, whether it's running back, tight end, or receiver, whoever can get it open in 2 seconds, which is not easy to do in the NFL, because Tom Brady's not going to have a lot of time. And I think teams have seen the weakness that the Patriots have right now, and that's pass protection. And Brady's numbers against the blitz aren't near as good as they've been in the past. So I wouldn't doubt that Dallas is salivating at the opportunity to get after Tom Brady.
Steve, there's been periods during the last 5-6 years when people are always looking for signs whether Tom's skills are declining. And up until this point, the answer's been no, that it was a product of a bad offensive line or Belichick not giving him enough weapons. But and now we're in another one of those periods where you figure, okay, at some point, his skills are going to be declining. He's 42 years old. Nobody's ever done this before and played at a high level. And it's too early to say whether it's a product of not having receivers in the offensive line and his blockers, like you've mentioned, not being up to standard, or whether or not he's finally showing his age. As somebody who's watched him week in and week out now for so many years, where do you put him right now?
I look at some of the games he had earlier on. I even look at the Baltimore game. He's had a number of games where he looked like he had zip on the ball, and he looked like he was throwing that tight spiral. And then he's had a couple games where it looked like all he was doing was finding a way to get rid of the ball. And some of his throws look uncharacteristic. I don't disagree that age can catch up to you, but it's the starting point from which you do your talents degrade. I mean, he's one of his biggest asset was always his mind and his ability to read defenses and whatnot. You know, that doesn't the arm tends to degrade quicker than the mind. But in terms of being able to still read defenses and be able to make the passes, there might be a little something less than there was at age 40 or 39 or whatever, but I think that if you can find a way to put, if he had the protection that he had last year and the running game that he had last year, I think we'd be talking a different story about Tom Brady. We'd still say, and just by the nature of time and age, we'd still say that yes, there's some, there might be a little bit less there than there was the year before, but still more than enough to put up better numbers than he's had this year. I think you can. There is a year. He is a year older. But I think a bigger factor is what's going on around him and the lack of time, the lack of receivers, and the fact that teams feel like they can blitz Tom Brady again, and that's probably causing more of it. But there is, and just by, you know, common sense, there has to be some sort of degradation of the arm and feet or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's the biggest factor with Tom Brady this year yet.
We're talking to Steve D'Ossi, Super Bowl champion with the Giants, who's now with WEEI, which is also owned by Entercom, which owns WFAN, by the way, and with NBC Sports in Boston. And, Steve, when you think back to the one game this year that they had Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, and then, of course, Edelman and Dorsett, you'd say this is one of the best groups of receivers that Tom has ever had, other than going back to the Randy Moss year in 2007 with Wes Welker. And now you fast forward to where we are now. They got rid of Brown. I'm still not quite sure why they gave up on Josh Gordon. They don't have Gronk from last year. And now, you know, Edelman is still Edelman, but Dorsett's in and out of the lineup. The rookie really has been hurt up until Harry's only been back 1 or 2 weeks now. If something doesn't change now, they're not going to make it, whether they have home field advantage or not, they're not going to make it out of the AFC to get to the Super Bowl this year if they don't find some people for Tom to throw the ball to.
But I would absolutely agree, and I'll compound that with another part of what we've seen with this Patriots team. We saw them last year towards the end of the season. Remember, they didn't finish the season strong. They lost to Miami. They lost to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And all I kept saying all year was, I don't care. The Patriots are going to be in the playoffs. Tell me how healthy they are going into the playoffs and how they're playing. Yeah, they finished up. I don't know if they had 1 or 2 games against the Jets or the Bills or whatever, but they finished up fine. In the last 4 or 5 games, they had 2 losses, and it didn't look pretty. They were able to pivot and become a little bit more of a running team, and maybe not just a little bit, a substantial bit more of a running team. Their offensive line was able to have them run the ball. They were able to do a number of things, and they still had Tom Brady throwing the ball to Welker and Gronk and whatnot, Edelman and Gronk in the playoffs. So he still had some targets there. That wasn't as big an issue as they say. I don't know if they have the personnel in that offensive line or tight end, or there's certainly the fullback position to pivot the way they did last year. That offense that they won the Super Bowl with was not the offense that they got to the Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
with, and not the offense that they used a lot in the playoffs. I don't know if they have that offensive line that can pivot, that can make that. We've seen Bill Belichick do miraculous things with teams and with personnel and with game plans. But when you don't have an offensive line that can open holes, and you don't have a fullback that can lead your running back up into that hole, it's not as easy. I'll put nothing past Bill Belichick. I mean, he was magical enough to find a way to let me be useful in a Giants offense. So I know he can work. I know he can work miracle defense. I know he can work miracles. But I don't know. I don't know if that's it. I've been saying that for a few weeks now. There is no place to pivot right now. It doesn't look like you can pivot and become a ball control, run the ball team. You've got to find a way to score points, because if you score, if you get in the playoffs or you get against Kansas City or you get back up against Baltimore and you think you can score 17, 20 points a game, I don't care how good this defense is. I'm not sure that's good enough for what the Patriots need.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what's amazing to me? Every time I see it, you know, Brady to Edelman has become as ingrained as, you know, Stabler to Biletnikoff or whatever. I mean, it's been it's just a tried and true combination. Yeah. And you've got a sixth rounder throwing to a seventh rounder, which is kind of amazing to me every time I watch it.
Yeah, and a guy who had to fight for playing time and starting position at University of Michigan with a guy who ended up playing baseball.
Yeah, right.
And a guy in Edelman who was a college quarterback at some point too. So
yeah.
You're right. It's just a man. You know what? Both of them play with a chip on their shoulder, and that served both of them very well. They've convinced themselves to this day that they don't get the respect that they that because of their draft position, because of the free agency, because of being a former quarterback, whatever. If you were to sit down and in a very honest moment, they would say, "Yeah, we sometimes you feel disrespected because of these things." And meanwhile, they are absolutely one of the best tandems that you could imagine in terms of first downs, in terms of crucial yardages, and a lot of big plays. So, yeah, I mean they've done some tremendous things, and you know, Tom Brady he falls in love. He fell in love with Welker, fell in love with Randy Moss, fell in love with. He was about to fall in love with Antonio Brown, you know, but that got headed off rather quickly. So, I think that the problem with a romance like that, a bromance like that, is that if that's the only guy you can throw to, the defenses will find a way, one way or another, to at least put it in perspective. Kind of like what the Patriots did with Ertz last week against Philadelphia. I think he ended up with 8 or 9 catches, but it was 75, 80 yards and was kind of inconsequential. That's what teams will end up doing with a guy like Wes Welker if there's nobody else to throw to. I mean, Edelman. I always say Welker. Edelman.
Yeah. They're the same guy.
Same guy almost, yeah, exactly.
If there's nobody else to throw to, they'll do the same thing that the Patriots did to Zach Ertz.
Yeah, you know, it was amazing, Steve, in that game. After the Eagle touchdown, I think Belichick was, you know, he was caught over talking with the defense on the sideline after that Eagle touchdown, and after that, totally shut down. It's the in-game adjustments that he makes, and whatever he says, I'm not sure what it is, but it certainly works, that's for sure. And it's fun to see that all the time when he gets into that.
Yeah, and a lot of times and I've been at the receiving end of real straightforward, you know, sort of clinical discussions on the sidelines. And I've been in where it's been crazy and yelling and all sorts of stuff. And basically, it's always the same thing. You got to get back to the basics. You got to make sure you're disciplined. Belichick always pushed for guys being disciplined and not always. You don't have to jump on the first thing that you see. They're trying to, so you know, he's such a stickler for guys being where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, and sometimes he has to remind the guys, and usually when he's having a conversation like that, it's not about changing wholesale changes in the defense. There'll be some tweaks here and there, but it's usually about hey, you know, remember, we talked about this. We talked about doing such and such. Let's make sure we do it. I know sometimes in the heat of the game, you get a little fired up and you forget your responsibilities, but oftentimes those conversations are reminders of what they'd already talked about during the week, and then you throw in some tweaks here and there, but there's nobody that's ever done it better than Bill Belichick when it comes to things like that.
Steve, from the category of everything is relative, here in New York, the two teams have combined for 5 victories. And we're talking about a Patriots team that's 9-1, as if, you know, the roof is falling in and the sky is falling, whatever. But at some point, there's going to be almost like a line of demarcation where you say, okay, this thing is now on the downside and going in the wrong direction. And it's hard to say it with a team that's 9-1, but with all the issues that you pointed out, perhaps it's going to come in the playoffs this year with a home loss in the divisional round. Then the questions will start. Is Brady coming back next year? Is Brady going to go play someplace else? Is he going to retire? What's Belichick's future? And I know the Jets people are holding their breath, hoping that they both leave after this season. But if you were to project what's going to happen the rest of the year and then what happens in the off season, and I know that's a hard question, But what's your best guess? What's your feel for what's in store for the Patriots here?
Well, I'll give you the disclaimer first off that last year, the way they finished the season, I didn't have high hopes for them even getting to the Super Bowl, let alone winning it. So again, this is Bill Belichick and his coaching staff and his players are capable of pulling off incredible feats of football, but. You could see last year, maybe in retrospect, maybe in hindsight, you could see how they were able to pivot their offense a little bit and how they were able to take advantage of a coaching mismatch in the Super Bowl and how they knew what they could do to inhibit Jared Goff and make him be a totally inadequate Super Bowl quarterback, you could maybe still see those things right there. I'm not 100% sure you could see those opportunities. But again, I'll tell you right now, I thought they could get to the AFC Championship game last year. I didn't think they'd make it past that. This year, the problem you have is, and again, you talk about the 9-1, and you're right. I'm on the radio on Tuesday or Wednesday, and you're hearing people calling in and complaining, and you're hearing a couple of boos about the offense and this and that. I'm like, and I get it. I understand it, but it's only because of the standard that the Patriots have set. They don't care about 9-1. They don't care about winning the AFC East. They don't care about even just getting to the AFC Championship game. There'll be no banners for getting to the AFC Championship game. They care about Super Bowls, and the fans do too. And sometimes the fans are a little unrealistic about it, but that's their prerogative. This team has, and this organization has set the bar so high that 9-1 gives you a week long of complaining about the team. And the majority of the talk this week were, I wouldn't say negative, but it was seeing the flaws and discussing the flaws, and instead of, you know, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying the fans are wrong. I'm right there saying that there's flaws in this offense. But in order to talk about what they do, it's not going to be an easy road at all to the Super Bowl. I could see them getting to the AFC Championship game. I could see them having difficulty with either Kansas City or Baltimore. But if they end up, but the only way I see Tom Brady leaving is one of those crazy, you know, cinematic scenarios where he wins his seventh Super Bowl, drops the microphone, walks off the stage, and calls it a career. You know, I mean that, and then, again, that's me wanting the theatrical end to one of the greatest.
You're just thinking about what you should have done after the Super Bowl when you beat the Bills. You should have called it a career and leave on top.
I had young children and an ex-wife to take care of. There was none of that. None of that even entered my mind. All right. I had a party to go to that night, too. So
Steve and Zach are going to be in the Long Snappers Hall of Fame. Yeah. First father-son combination in there together.
That's funny because, it's funny because I never taught him a thing about the long snapping, ever. Never mentioned it to him, never taught. In high school one time, he was supposed to be punting his senior year, and the first game of the year, he's back there, and he's not punting. I'm like, oh. I'm looking at the bench, seeing if he's hurt or something. Turns out, as the quarterback of the team, he had to long snap because nobody else could long snap. So that's how he ended up long snapping. I never taught him a thing. And to this day, I'll tell him, you know, if you want to learn how to do it the right way, I'll show you. He'll look at me and say, yeah, you know, a couple Pro Bowls and a couple Super Bowls later, Dad, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I got this.
Whatever. I can still beat him in golf, so that's all that matters.
That's all that all that matters. Hey, Steve, while Gary's getting a steak at Steve and Fred's, save me a spot at Blackstone's, okay? I'll have a cigar with you.
You guys are invited anytime. Come on up. Providence is a short ways away. You guys know Eddie. I've known you guys forever, you've always been great with me, so I'd love to sit here and I can regale you with all sorts of stories of my 12 years while we eat a steak. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Good. Sounds good, man. All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.